sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
A mother's breastfeeding experience changes drastically over time, starting from her child's birth throughout the months of her baby's life. Today, we continue our conversation in our series called Breastfeeding Expectations. Over these 12 months, we will be following three new mothers along their breastfeeding journeys, learning how they cope with breastfeeding challenges and settle into a breastfeeding rhythm with their babies. This is The Boob Group, episode 31.
Breast milk, it does a baby good.
Silly daddy, boobs are for babies.
I make milk. What's your superpower?
If my breastfeeding offends you, put a blanket over your head.
Dairy diva.
Don't be lactose intolerant.
Nursing nature's own breast enhancement.
Meals on heels.
Whoever said there's no use crying over spilled milk never had to pump.
Breast milk. All udders are inferior.
Whatever your point of view, we're here to support your breastfeeding goals. We're the Boob Group, because mothers know breast. Welcome to The Boob Group, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm your host, Robin Kaplan. I'm also a board-certified lactation consultant and owner of the San Diego Breastfeeding Center. At The Boob Group, we're your online support group for all things related to breastfeeding. Have you joined our Boob Group Club yet? This is an exclusive membership club available to all of our listeners. It gives you access to all of our archived episodes, written transcripts of the shows, plus a monthly newsletter with special giveaways, discounts, and much more. You can access all of this great information through the web or through our new Boob Group app. For more information, visit our website, theboobgroup.com, and click on the membership link at the top of the page. Now it's time for me to introduce our lovely moms who will be following for now the next 7 months. Ladies, would you please introduce yourselves?
Jennifer Oliver. I am 34 years old. I work for a nonprofit in arts education. I have two kids. Fiona is 2 and 10 months, and Bryson is 4 months. And I think that's it.
I'm Annie Hall. I am 36 years old. I am a partner in an architecture firm. I am an architect. And my daughter, Ellie, is now 5 months old.
Hi, I'm Cherry Christensen. I'm 31, and I work in consumer research. And I have one daughter. She is 4 months old, and her name is Callie.
Sounds familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
We're going to kick off today's episode with a breastfeeding article I actually just found. Every couple months, I get the Journal of Human Lactation, and I just found that this was a really great article I wanted to highlight, and it's called Establishing an Online and Social Media Presence for Your IBCLC Practice, so International Board Certified Lactation Consultant Practice. So the article is about how we have these dominant social media platforms, and the four ones they mentioned were Facebook, Twitter,
blogging as well as Pinterest and saying that that's where moms are really hanging out right now. And so it was actually recommending for lactation consultants to have more of an online social media presence. So I would just wanted to kind of throw it out there to you. Do you guys use the web for finding breastfeeding information or parenting information? And do you find it helpful? So Jen, you want to start us off? Do you look at the web ever? I know you're not on Facebook all the time.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of. I occasion Facebook, but I have to say I use it a lot for my nonprofit work, for social networking in that way. I do probably, if I'm looking for assistance or information, I probably search the web the most. And in which case, I think I just do a Google search on a question like overproduction or something like that, and then I'll just filter through what comes out. So I think that's probably where I seek out the most information.
How about you, Annie?
Yeah, I would say the same thing, that I very minimally am on Facebook or any other type of social network itself, but when I've had a question, I've gone online and gone to your website, actually.
Oh, well, thank you. My blog.
You're welcome. And your blog. But same thing, I've had a question, I type it in, and then I search through people's answers, and I've actually gone to the ones that you've suggested as well. So
okay, cool. How about you, Cherry?
I think maybe I'm the opposite, because I use Facebook for everything, and I do search online for things, especially at the beginning when I was having all the issues with Raynaud's and the vasospasms. I did because I hadn't been able to find answers on Facebook. But I'm a part of so many different groups on Facebook, moms groups, breastfeeding support groups and stuff like that, that I've kind of feel like that's sort of my go-to network of people. Maybe it's because I kind of established a little bit of a rapport with some of these people, and they're not just like random strangers posting something on the internet. So I use Facebook a lot. I barely have time for it, though. It's quick and easy on my phones. So I definitely don't have time for Pinterest and Twitter and all of those other things, but Facebook's definitely helpful.
Yeah, and I've noticed, especially just with a San Diego Breastfeeding Facebook page, my goodness, the amount of questions that are posted on there. Some of them actually are looking for more clinical advice, and the moms will get on there and say, well, this is what you could do, but you really should see a lactation consultant. And then other things are just like, what are you doing at this stage? My child's 4 months old. They're not taking a bottle. What should I do? And then the moms just, they come out. There's the next thing you know, there's 20 comments with just all different ideas. And so I love the mom-to-mom interactions that are going on it. And even with our Facebook page for the Boob Group, we're getting a lot more questions, which is really cool, because then we can ask the rest of our listeners what their ideas are as well. So it's not just expert advice, but mom-to-mom advice, which is often very expert as well. So, okay, well, thanks for sharing your ideas, ladies, and we'll be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Today on the Boob Group, we're discussing what Annie, Jen, and Cherry's breastfeeding experiences have been like during their baby's fifth month. So ladies, for all of those mamas out there who have brand new babies who might be listening to us talk about now what life is like with babies a little bit older, what is life like now for your babies in this fifth month? And how would you compare it to what life was like when you first brought home your little ones? Annie, what do you think? I see you pondering over there.
Yeah, I would say that now it's less about survival for her, because I think in the beginning with being a brand new mom, it was, is she alive? Is she going to be okay? Is she going to die? Is she breathing? How do I do this? Are my boobs okay? Am I going to create enough milk? And now it's a balance with work and life. So the transition is she's a little bit more easier from the standpoint of what I expect to happen. And what's hard is the juggle.
Yeah, between everything.
Yeah.
Between life in general, not just taking care of your infant.
Right. So now it's life's added back into it. And now, okay, how much is she drinking? And what am I pumping enough during the day? That's the struggle.
Yeah.
It's busy.
It's hard to be a mom, and especially working mom, too. It's just busy.
Yeah. I'm not done until I lay down, right? Yeah. And that's what every mom says.
I lay down, and I'm definitely not done.
What's going on with you, Jen?
Yeah, I was just thinking about, I think breastfeeding is sort of very regular and very easy at this stage for me. Again, this is my second, so it started off a little bit easier, but he's just got more mass to him. So when I grab him and move him around, it's like this cuddly little, like, I don't know, it's just, they're so fragile at the beginning, and it's, you're being so cautious about how you hold their head and how you breastfeed with them. And now I just kind of bounce him around and use my shoulders and my elbows in ways that I probably didn't at the beginning. He's actually here on the floor. So if I come in and out, it's because I'm looking over at him. But he's getting a little bit more independent too, so he's playing on his own more right now, and the time between feedings feels like it's stretching out a little bit longer. He is eating more in mass, and I'm actually not sure I'm quite producing enough. So this is kind of my question about, I'm kind of looking forward to when I introduce solids, because then I don't have to worry about the fact that I'm not producing quite as much, and I think that has a lot to do with my work pump situation. Mm-hmm. I know it has a lot to do with my work pump situation. So yeah, that's probably what we're experiencing the most right now. And he's just so happy, and I don't know, the word that comes to me all the time is he's so much easier than my first. So this is just it feels fun right now.
Cool. How about you, Cherry?
I think that there are a lot of things that are easier and then a lot of things that are harder, because there's continuously new things happening. And so just as you kind of get used to the rhythm of things, you know, in the first month or two, then something new happens. And so definitely and that's probably like for the rest of my life.
Welcome to parenting.
You know, but I don't know if this happened, but I think it's probably between the last show, but I put her down on the bed to run to the bathroom, and I came back and she wasn't where I had left her, and she was on her stomach. And I was like, what? Like, when did that happen? And that was like the end of an era, because all of a sudden my husband and I realized like we can no longer just leave the room for 1 minute, because that, like, not even 10 seconds now she's rolling around. So but I think breastfeeding's definitely gotten easier, and I think what's harder is that I struggle to read her cues so much more now that she's so much more mobile, now that everything's going in her mouth all the time. That's not always hunger, but at the same time I just feed her, you know, if I think it's been a while or if it looks like she might be hungry, and usually she is. So the one thing that hasn't changed though is I know Jennifer's talking about the duration between feedings getting longer, and I feel like I'm still nursing her round the clock and a couple times at night too.
Yeah. So that kind of gets into my next question. So what does your breastfeeding routine look like now with your kids? And obviously it looks a little bit different when you're at work and then when you're back at home. So Cherry, you're saying that that Callie's still eating a lot.
She's, you know, the thing is she's always been kind of the speed nurser, really efficient. She's never really been on for very long. So it's hard to tell, is she just nursing for a minute or two? Is she really taking in a couple ounces? Because she can do the same in the same amount of time. And so it just depends. But I still feel like she, you know, we co-sleep and she wakes up a couple times at night, and I can kind of roll her over and let her on without me waking up fully and without her waking up fully. And I'm kind of getting to a point where I'm wondering, is she really hungry or is she just stirring? And now she wants my boobs for comfort. But I have noticed that she's not as hungry in the morning. So I think she's definitely, you know, getting nutrition at night, because normally the first thing in the morning I knew I had to nurse her. And now we don't have to do that right away. So, but it's still every 2 to 3 hours, I would say. I think I probably still nurse her at least 10 times a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you, Annie?
You bring up a good point, Cherry, because I'm just noticing that Ellie's not so hungry the first thing in the morning, which is what has been the case, that she would wake up and just be, you know, ravenous, and now she's not. So that brings actually a really good point. So maybe I should just stop feeding her in the middle of the night.
Oh, because that's easy.
How often do you nurse her at night?
I say that, but that's not going
to
happen.
No, totally God. Not. You want to go back to sleep?
What?
Do you want to go back to sleep in the middle of the night?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Ellie, yeah, she sleeps, she eats at least once in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
She eats about 5 times during the day, and so I'll feed her in the morning, and then she has bottles when I'm at work, and then she eats once or twice before she goes down for the night, and then she'll wake up once. And then every once in a while, depending on, you know, if something's going on. So I think lately she's been up maybe a little bit, her schedule's a little shifting because of teething.
Absolutely. So. That brings up a really good point, is that, and we'll get to you in a second, Jen, about what your routine is like. But babies, I even noticed it in my own kiddo's baby book that, you know, 3 months, maybe they're waking up like once or twice a night. And then all of a sudden, like 4 or 5 months, I'm looking at, they're waking up 3 times again. And that's also because they're neurologically, they're going through so many changes. You know, they're getting ready to start sitting up. They're getting ready to start feeding, eating solids and things like that. And teething, throw that into the mix, forget about it. And so babies really, they start waking up more often, and they're also very aware if either you are in the room, so then therefore, oh, mom's going to comfort me, or they're very aware that mom or dad isn't in the room, and so they're going to be like, hello, like, I'm here, but I don't really know how to self-soothe yet, and so can you come in and help me? And so they just have a hard time kind of transitioning into the next sleep cycle, because when they wake up, they're like, oh, no one's here. So very, very common for babies to really start reverting in their sleep habits right around 4 or 5 months, which it sounds like you guys are kind of looking into. But obviously it does get better. Jen, what's your routine looking like?
Yeah, actually I was going to repeat what you said. So basically he was sleeping really well at the beginning, and now he's waking up a little bit more often at night. And I breastfeed him and he goes back to sleep. I mean, he does sleep for a very long time. He sleeps for an 8-hour stint, mm-hmm. and then he'll wake up. But then he'll wake up once, go back to sleep, wake up a second time, mm-hmm. and then go back to sleep for just a short amount of time, and then wake up for the day. But it's still working very well, considering that our first, I felt like she never slept. So this one, I feel like he is sleeping a good amount of time. And then our routine during the day is sort of the same. In the sense that when I'm at work, I try to pump pretty regularly, and seem to have a routine. But when I'm just home with him, I'm not really sure what the routine is. I just sort of, when he seems like he's ready, I feed him. So I'm not staying consistent, I think. But it seems like there's a good 3 hours between feedings, and sometimes longer. Sometimes it feels like 4 hours or more. But it doesn't feel like I'm breastfeeding him all the time.
You know, I also notice, I hear this a lot from my moms, and I even remember this as well, is that the milk production kind of plateaus around 4 months. And then, and Sunny, you're shaking your head too, because I know that you've experienced this as well. But right, the output kind of plateaus. And so then a lot of moms start feeling very insecure about what their milk supply is, and are they able to meet their baby's needs. And so, Jen, you had started mentioning this, that you're feeling like your supply is maybe not as high as you would like it to be. So what's going on with that?
Yeah, I think I remember experiencing this with my first as well, which is that it's really difficult to pump at work. I work in a job where I'm not just in one place all the time, and I don't have my own office, and I actually work part-time. I work 5 hours in the office, and then I get sort of remaining hours outside of the office. And so because my work schedule is not so regular, I'm just having a really hard time remembering to pump, finding a place to pump. If I'm out at school sites, I try and pump in the car sometimes, and sometimes at the school, but then sometimes I don't have time, and it starts to feel really stressful, actually. And there are times where I have meetings, and the meeting is right during the time I would pump, and so then I pump after the meeting, but then I need to make sure that I get home and be able to feed him, so I can't pump. It's just like this, I feel like it's this really stressful clock I'm managing, and because of it, I feel like I'm actually not pumping enough at work. And so when I get home, usually the conversation is, so how much did he eat? Mm-hmm. And the whole time I'm going, I know it's more than I pump. I know it's more than I pumped. Yeah, he ate about 8 ounces. How much did you pump? About 5. So it's because of that, and it's Monday through Friday, I'm definitely in a pattern now where I don't pump as much as he eats. So it seems like on the weekends I could probably be producing a bit more. At the same time, he seems satisfied. It doesn't seem like he's so hungry, but I don't know. I'm just at a point now where I'm feeling a little bit stressed about how much I'm producing, and then as well as looking forward to, it's not too much further till he'll have some solids and then it'll be okay again. So,
have you thought about pumping before you go to bed or maybe on the weekends? To how do you catch up those 3 ounces if he's taking 8 and you're producing 5?
Well, at the beginning I pumped a lot because I was producing so much at nighttime.
So you had a surplus.
So I had the surplus. So we've dove into the surplus. There's still a little bit left, yeah, but not a lot. So we're still covered. There's still milk in the freezer, but I haven't started doing extra to make up for it. And part of it, too, is I don't want to pump at night because I really want for that to slowly move out of the routine and sleep through the night, and I don't want to be engorged at night. So I'm kind of... I haven't found a solution.
You probably could pump before you go to bed, though, and it wouldn't cause you to be engorged. Mm-hmm. So just a thought. But we can obviously delve into that more as well. Annie, how about you? You feeling like you're keeping up, and how's your supply doing?
Yeah, I had, and I think I talked to you about it a little bit, I had a couple of days where I felt like I wasn't pumping. I had only pumped maybe 1 or 2 ounces. And then the next time round at work, so I was planning to pump twice to match when she was eating at home. And so maybe I had pumped enough for one bottle. And so I freaked out over a course of a few days because I had meetings, I had somewhere I had to go, and I wasn't in, and it's very stressful. It's very stressful. So I just took a deep breath and I had a beer.
And at work?
No. And then I just started pumping at night. So, and now I don't stress about pumping twice at work if I don't feel like I have the time. I pump the once, which right now is enough for one side or uh-huh. one bottle. Uh-huh. And then when I get home, she goes down, you know, between 7 and 8. And so then I'll pump at 10 or 11.
Okay.
And then if it's not enough, I pump in the morning. So that's exhausting.
Yeah.
So now that I'm going to be back full time, I'm going to be pumping as much as I can. I think I'll be pumping twice.
Okay.
Because I think I'll, yeah. But it's still I feel like I'm behind the ball, so I have to make up for it at other times during the day. And then I just started putting more in the freezer again, too, just so that I wouldn't feel like I was stressed out about it. And it makes me feel nervous that I don't know how long will I be able to do this?
Yeah. Well, I think what Jen mentioned as well is that once solids start, I mean, granted, in the beginning, they're kind of just tasting it. They're getting a teaspoon here and there. But you know, right when you hit around 8 months, they start actually taking a decent amount of solids, and it really can reduce the stress off of mom because baby's getting food in other ways. And then, you know, you could always add a pumping session on weekends, for example, so you're not going into work, so you're not going to be pumping there. So yeah, tossing in another pumping session rather than doing it, you know. I like the night one, to be honest. I find that one, because babies tend to take their longest chunk of sleep in the first half of the night. So they may sleep from, you know, like 6 to 2 or 8 to 2, and then they wake up at 4 and 6 and stuff like that. So if you pump before you go to bed, you know, you're still going to plenty of milk when they wake up. So that can be a nice little trick. And then you can always do things like, you know, take herbs to support your milk supply. You can add green superfoods to your diet, so powder like that in your water. My acupuncturist swears by it. She takes a huge like liter of water, she puts a scoop of like a green powder that she got from one of the local grocery stores, and puts it and she just drinks it all day, and so she knows that she's getting like vital nutrients, and she doesn't have to think about what extra things she needs to add to her sandwich, for example. And so she finds that really helps keep her supply up. And and I've had a lot of other moms who've said the same thing too. So little things like that.
And I think that was another comment I thought of was making sure that what I'm eating is the right foods. And I feel like my schedule is so crazy that I started implementing the superfood just so that I put it in my cereal.
Yeah.
Just so that I make sure that I, you know, in the morning, that at least I have that.
Absolutely.
But it is that part of the equation is stressful to me too, the eating the right thing.
Yeah. Well, we actually just had a great episode. It's called Losing Weight and Maintaining Your Milk Supply, but it's the same type of thing. I mean, just we had Leanne Webster, who's a nutritionist, come on here and talk about that. So keep your ears posted for that one. I'll tell you when it's up. Cherry, how about you? How are you feeling about your milk supply?
Okay, the last time that I was here, I know I had just recently been going through this vicious cycle of like seeing my supply dip a little bit when I pumped and then feeling stressed and then the stress kind of feeding into the supply. And so I kind of took a deep breath and kind of tried to relax for a few days. I did some of those tips that you told me about, doing some compression. Totally found that it was helping.
Oh, while you're pumping?
Yes, yes. To kind of like the last 5 minutes or so, doing compression, doing some massage. And so it was helping a lot. But I'll be honest, I haven't pumped or given her a bottle in about 3 weeks.
And so, when are you going back
yeah,
to work?
Yeah, soon. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I'd start reintroducing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple 100 ounces in the freezer,
wow,
but it's probably going to get to a point where it's going to, yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry, you have 200 ounces in your freezer?
Well, I said a couple hundred. It's probably, yeah, I probably have about 200. 350 maybe in the freezer. So, yeah.
The looks on your faces are priceless.
I'm pretty sure you're going to be just fine.
Well, yeah, no, I will. The problem is that I know I need to start using that because otherwise we've gone into one bottle once. And I know it's in a deep freezer, so I know it can last a little bit longer. But
up to 12 months.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
but good. I know you had mentioned also, Cherry, that your work environment and finding the time to pump might be a little bit more stressful. Or you were mentioning that it would be hard.
Yeah.
Where I know yours is, well, actually not more stressful because you guys have a very stressful situation as well. But so you've had time to kind of plan ahead just in case you're not able to pump as much as you
Well,
need
and the
to.
Thing is, I'm kind of in this weird place because I've met a couple of moms and some people had referred people that they knew to me because they knew I had an oversupply and was I interested in donating because I had been interested in that. And now I'm kind of having this feeling between am I being a little selfish, but I kind of want to like hang on to it because what if there's an issue. And so I kind of feel like maybe what I'll do is as I start feeling like I've maybe had some milk in there for too long or maybe my freezer's full and I'm adding new, then maybe I'll donate the old and keep it circulating. So but what I did actually do was I actually got together with some new moms from my work recently, and while I was with them I kind of picked their brains about what they're doing and what their schedule is. And some of them had had given me some advice about putting it on their calendar as a meeting, a private meeting, and then sticking to it and just never ever taking any meeting around that time, which I know is a little easier said than done. But they actually book each pumping session for an hour, so if a meeting runs 30 or 45 minutes late, they're still
okay. Yes. Callie
doesn't like me talking about going to meetings.
She's like, you're never going to work.
Yeah,
that's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, so and I knew that I was going to do that, but some of those things are nice in theory and then it gets a little trickier. But I think if I just do that from the beginning and kind of set a standard and people know and kind of make it around lunchtime or things where it's not like, oh, I'm never available at 9 a.m.
Right.
I'm sorry, sweetheart. But so I'm feeling a little bit better about that. And also because I haven't gone back to work yet, Kelly will be a little bit older. And, I live close by, so worst case scenario, she'll come visit for lunch and I'll nurse her at work, which also sounds great, but I don't want to put too much pressure on myself. So if we do that, even twice a week, that's two pumping sessions I get to skip.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, no, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
totally huge.
That's great.
And then I get to see her for lunch, so that'll be really great. So
very cool. All right, we will be right back. And when we do come back, Annie, Jen, and Cherry will be discussing their thoughts on introducing solid foods and how things have been going when they returned back to work. We'll be right back. All right, and we're back with Annie, Jen, and Cherry talking about breastfeeding their babies in their fifth month. And so, ladies, since I know Jen and Annie, you're back to work, and Cherry, it sounds like you just had a great meeting with some of the ladies at your work, what would be your favorite bit of advice that you could share with other moms who are about to go back to work? And I know, Cherry, you just mentioned kind of blocking off a time period where it's essentially a meeting time. And so you're not necessarily pumping for that hour, but just you are blocking off front and end part of that so you actually have time to pump.
Well, and I know, know what my work environment is like. I know everyone has, you know, very unique situations. But for me, my company, they like to have a lot of meetings, just a lot of meetings all the time. And it can be really hard to get anything done when you're constantly going from one conference room to another. And so my plan is sort of that those, you know, if I have 2 one-hour sessions on my calendar, even if I'm only pumping twice a day, that might be my email time. So as much as I'd love to think that I'm going to go sit in this, you know, health room that we have and dim the lights and sit back and pump and take like a 50-minute break, realistically, it's going to be more feasible and more productive if I'm taking my laptop and I sit down and I can finally respond to some emails and do some work. And I also think that it's going to be a little bit easier on my coworkers and on my boss, which even though I know the law's on my side to protect me, to give me these breaks, I feel like if I'm productive and people are seeing emails coming from me, they're not as likely to object and complain that I keep disappearing, especially if I decide that, you know, I'm going to do it maybe even 3 times a day. So my biggest concern is I've been speaking with a lot of working moms to kind of get advice and figure out how are you managing to pump so many times a day. And so many moms have said, well, my supply has gone down, so I don't need to pump as many times. And in my head, I think, maybe your supply has gone down because you're not pumping so many times. You know, that, oh, well, now I can go much longer and I only need to pump once a day. Before, I used to do it, you know, 3 or 4 times. And I'm just thinking I need to set myself up from the beginning to have a really good routine and a really good system, even if I have to go in a little bit earlier to kind of make up for the time I'm away from my desk, so that I don't find myself in that situation.
Absolutely. How about you, Annie? What bit of advice would you have? Or do you have?
I felt that as soon as I had a cover, right, I felt much more comfortable.
Okay.
And it took just the first couple of weeks of getting used to pumping outside of home and just having this whole scenario happen. So I would say that my advice would be to be patient and just let yourself go through that process, because it is going to get better. And then set yourself up with some things ahead of time to give you the best outcome. So to have a cover, the cover I think was probably the biggest deal.
Yeah.
And then I do the same thing as I end up doing my emails while I'm, and then also to let yourself have a sense of humor about all of it. At least one of my business partners makes sure that I have a sense of humor about it. So, in fact, this week I usually close the door, and so they know that that's what I'm doing, and I have it all covered, and I'm doing email and the partner will remain nameless, Jen's husband, comes over and goes, oh, darn it, Annie, I need you to go through some things with me. And I said, okay, well, give me a second. And so then I'm, you know, I'm still emailing. And then a few minutes later, I hear, Annie, pinch it off.
Nice.
So, you know, it's just.
I'm waiting for them to walk by your office with like a photo of boobs and like just slap it up against the window or something. Just because you work in such a hilarious environment. Like, I know that probably sounds offensive to some women maybe who are listening to this who are like, that's sexual harassment. But I mean, your office.
No, they're brothers.
The three of you are so funny. So, oh, that's too funny. How about you, Jen?
Yeah, I have a similar work environment in which I work with people that I really love and appreciate and also have a great sense of humor. So I literally am having meetings with my coworkers while I'm pumping. So I'm holding the pump and talking to them. And every once in a while, one of them will look at me and say, really, do you think that I can focus while you're pumping? but they're such a great group of people. So I think having a sense of humor has really helped me. I do not have a great schedule in terms of being able to really schedule my pumping sessions. I think that's a great idea. I think if you can set it up and it works for you, I would really highly recommend it. I, on the other hand, am just not able to. I'm only in the office for 5 hours. I have to be really efficient. I work while I'm pumping. I don't even take a break. And I move my pumping sessions in wherever I can. And a lot of times I can't. I have a conference for 3 hours. It's in the middle of the day. And before it, I've got to prep a whole bunch of stuff. I need to meet with a couple people, and then I need to get into that conference. And I'm leading it, so, you know.
I can't sneak out to go pump.
Yeah. And then I go, you know, and then at the end I pump. And it's just, that's what it is. And so I'm just sort of trying to, be comfortable with what it is, and and let myself be okay with the fact that if I'm not producing enough or if things don't sort of line up in terms of how much he's eating and how much I'm pumping, that it's all going to be okay. Some comfort I get from remembering my daughter and remembering that I went through something similar with her, and somehow it all worked out. And I don't remember how.
How long did you breastfeed Fiona?
17 months.
Yeah, so it clearly ended up working out just fine.
It worked out just fine. I do know that a big piece of it had to do with her going on solids eventually. Mm-hmm. I think that there was a possibility that I had to actually use some formula a couple times. I always had a backup for my mother-in-law, just in case there wasn't enough in the freezer, there was formula. And I feel like we did end up having to use it a couple times, but it wasn't a big deal. And if it obviously isn't momentous enough that I remember it. I don't remember if we used it or not. So that's bringing me some comfort. And I just, it's harder than it seems.
Yeah.
It's harder than it seems. You project into it. Exactly. You project into it. I'm going to plan all these things. I'm going to make sure these things happen. And then you get into it and there's just all these variables you didn't account for. Your boss has an extra meeting that day or for some reason you've got guests coming in because you guys are doing interviews or there's just always all these variables and you just can't, I can't control them all. So
absolutely.
I just have to kind of go with the flow and just let it be. And again, I'm only in the office for 5 hours, so it is a little bit less than people who are working 8-9 hour schedules. So I kind of, even if I don't pump the entire time, somehow it'll work out.
Absolutely. All right, ladies. Well, we actually didn't get to our solid foods topic, but now that I'm actually thinking about it, your kiddos are about a month to a month and a half off, so I think it'll be perfectly appropriate to table that conversation to when we talk about you guys when we come back at in another couple episodes. So, ladies, as always, thank you so much for sharing your experiences breastfeeding your babies during their fifth month of life. It's always a pleasure. And if you are one of our Boob Group Club members, this interview isn't over for you, as we have extended this interview just for you. If you would like to learn more about becoming a Boob Group Club member, please check out our website at theboobgroup.com. Here's a comment from one of our listeners. This is from Debbie Hansen. I recently listened to episode 25, Avoiding Booby Traps in the Hospital, and I found it very interesting as I had a very different experience than apparently most women have. And until your show, I had not realized that this was the case. Here's some of what I experienced. Within 20 minutes after having a cesarean, the nurses initiated breastfeeding, making sure that my daughter was able to latch well. Every nurse I had day and night asked about feedings, watched me nurse, and gave me tips. I was visited by a lactation consultant every day I was in the hospital and was given their cell number to call with questions. When my daughter lost over 10% of her birth weight, they brought me a breast pump and taught me how to use it. When she still wasn't gaining, they offered me donor milk. And when I left the hospital, they gave me a prescription for a breast pump. Never once was the word formula spoken to me. In addition to this, it was assumed that my daughter would be in our room the entire time, and they never questioned me when I had her sleep with me. They encouraged skin to skin and suggested against giving a bath until our second day there. All of this was provided without even a slight question or suggestion on my part. I felt that I was expected to breastfeed and that they were expected to help me be successful in that. I did not realize how special of an experience I had, and hope that things will soon change and that more women will have the support I was given. Thank you for your show. I love to listen. In case you were interested, I delivered at Sacred Heart Medical Center at Riverbend in Springfield, Oregon. Sincerely, Debbie Hansen. Thank you to all of our listeners. I hope you'll visit our website, theboobgroup.com, and add your stories about breastfeeding your five-month-old in the comment section of this episode's page. Coming up next week, we'll be discussing how to not need a lactation consultant. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group, because mothers know breast.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care. and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.